Welcome to Five or Flop, a podcast for the best and worst historical fiction has to offer. I'm your host, Grace.
And I'm Erin, and this is a special in-between season bonus episode we have for you.
Yes, so we don't want to keep you waiting too long without content in between our beautiful season one and our even more beautiful season two to come.
Of course.
So we thought we would record this as a little treat and talk about the film version of Snowflower and the Secret Fan.
Which we got our entire friend group to watch. Fucking blast.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Snowflower and the Secret Fan. We're not going to bury the lead for you. On a scale of five to flop, it is hard flop.
This movie was such a flop. So, which is insane because the book is such a five.
I know. Like, it just shows how easy it is to mess something up in adaptation. And not to make too many people mad, but yes, I am subtweeting the Percy Jackson TV show. Anyway.
Yeah, the Lotus Casino episode just came out at the time of recording. We're not too happy over here.
No.
Anyways, so the biggest difference between Snowflower the book and Snowflower the movie. So Snowflower the book only focuses on Snowflower and Lily.
Yes.
Whereas in the movie, we're following two lines and we're following their great-great-great-whatever granddaughters.
Yeah, so we're in like...
Or at least one of their granddaughters.
So we're in 1800s China for, I wouldn't even say 50% of the movie. I would say 40% of the movie.
Yeah, the movie literally starts in modern-day Shanghai.
Yeah, and then the other 60% of the movie, you are in modern Shanghai with two old sames who are the, like, stand-in Lilies and Snowflowers.
And I was actually pissed because did you notice they don't even call them old sames? They call them sworn sisters, which is
yes.
Not the same as a Lao Tong.
If you would know, sworn sisters is a relationship that you have with several girls. Your Lao Tong is just one other girl.
Did they even read the book?
No, absolutely not.
Also, my favorite part that while we're still in the beginning of the movie, I have to laugh about, right at the beginning, did you notice the name of the production company?
What?
Big Feet Production.
Oh.
And then, like, 20 minutes later, they go into the foot binding.
Yes. There's, like, a part in the future where, like, okay, so one of the, basically the beginning of the movie is the Lily character is very successful in, like, business.
I think the girls' names were Sophie and Nina. I don't know who was who.
Yeah, I can't remember. Modern Lily is what I'm going to call her. Is like very, she's like a banker or something, and she's like getting this big promotion. She's gonna like go to New York and like have her own, I don't know, whatever. She's very successful. And then Snowflower goes into a coma.
Yeah. She's riding a bike drunk and she gets hit by a car.
Yeah. Which is okay. Don't do that.
And these two girls used to be best friends. The modern Lily used to be her English tutor.
Yes.
And they were best friends, and then they had a falling out over a man. And can you guess who that man was?
It's Hugh Jackman.
And he's in the movie for maybe 10 minutes to drive a wedge in their relationship, but also sing a little ditty at a nightclub.
Yes. So the whole reason that we wanted to watch this movie is that we were like, oh, maybe there are film adaptations of some of the books that we read. And we looked it up. And we found out that there was a Snowflower and the Secret Fan movie.
And we were like, perfect.
We were like, wow, like, how come we haven't heard of this? And on Wikipedia, it's listing all of the actors' names. Like, you know, this film stars, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, okay, we didn't know about this modern part at all. We only know the book. And obviously, the book has mainly female characters, and all of the characters are Chinese. Like,
There's no white people in this book.
No, there's no one that's even from outside of their province. And so on Wikipedia, it's like, this film stars blah, 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 and Hugh Jackman. Mm-hmm. And we're like, who could Hugh Jackman even be playing? Like, who is he? So that made a very enjoyable viewing experience for us to, like, the whole movie. Like, anytime they were flashed back into the future, we were like, where's Hugh Jackman?
the entire time.
And he didn't show up until like pretty late in the game. So every single scene we were like, where's Hugh Jackman?
We thought he was going to be in New York. He was not.
Yes, because we never even make it to New York.
He was a flashback.
Because of course Lily is like, I can't leave to open my bank when my sworn sister is in a coma, which is nice of her. But the idea that connects those two stories is like, obviously they're descendants of Lily and Snowflower. But the Snowflower, modern day Snowflower, who is in a coma, was like writing a book about being sworn sisters.
I forgot about that whole part. She was supposed to be writing Snowflower and the Secret Fan, right?
She was not explicitly, but she was like, I'm going to write Snowflower's story.
Essentially, she was a Lisa C. knockoff.
Basically. While she was in the coma, Modern Lily was like tracking down the fan. Like, the fan still existed, like, and that's what connected.
The physical, literal fan.
Of the Secret Fan fame. And it involved her, like, tracking it down. And then when she found it, and she, like, came to the hospital and started reading, like, the manuscript out loud, then Modern Snowflower woke up from her coma, and then the movie was over, and they were old Sames again. Yeah, and then the last shot of the film is of the flashback, like, the original Lily and Snowflower in their, like, old-timey clothes, standing, like, on the roof of, like, a skyscraper in Shanghai. And then the film ends.
I do not remember that scene at all.
Yeah, no, I remember that because I was just like, oh, my God. Like, what a ham-fisted way to be, like, night, the past is the future, the future is the past.
To really get in the right mindset for this movie, some of us had a bit to drink, you know. Yeah.
So it was a party atmosphere.
It's a little blurry. We were eating ham. It's okay.
There was cheering when Hugh Jackman's character showed up and he was a nightclub owner and he sang a little song. And you know that they were like, Hugh Jackman, will you please be in our movie? And he's like, this is a bad movie. And they were like, we'll let you sing a song. And he was like, fine.
They wanted a big name on screen so bad.
Yeah, and he was so pointless to the plot. Actually, I think Snowflower in the coma was like pregnant with his baby. Or, like, she had a miscarriage of Hugh Jackman's baby.
I think it was a miscarriage to kind of, like, parallel the Snowflower stuff. But Snowflower and Lily are more so just a framing device. Like, their story is not important.
No. Like I said, it's not even, like, an even half of the movie. Mm-mm. So it's like, first of all, why would you make up all this stuff that's not even in the book?
When the book is so good and could easily be his own movie.
Yeah, I mean, and we commented on it. The same pair of actresses play Lily and Snowflower in, like, both the past and the future. Yeah. Or, like, Sophie and Nina or whatever their names
took
were.
Took us all quite a while to figure out.
Yeah, because frankly, one, they were made up and costumed and their hair, it was very different. But two, I feel like they were being better actresses in the past.
I agree.
Because the parts in the future were written by a hack, and the parts in the past were written by Lisa C. Like, even when they messed it up, like, the story of Snowflower and the Secret Fan is really good.
Yeah.
So you have, like, a good basis to work off of. So the Snowflower got to make this speech that's like, I love my husband, like, doesn't your husband ever, like, say that he loves you or whatever, like, you think I'm a slut, but my husband just loves me or whatever. And you're like, wow, that part's so good. And then in the future, she's like, you're jealous of me because I'm dating Hugh Jackman. And you're like, okay, this part is stupid.
The one thing I will say was on comparable levels with the book to me was the foot binding scene.
Ooh.
Because it was just as horrific in the movie as it was. You could hear their bones crack. Ugh.
It was even worse. It was even worse. Because, like, especially because we were in a room with people who hadn't read the book. So, like,
they didn't know it was coming.
Yeah. So, first of all, there was the foot binding part where, like, you hear the bones crack. And then you're like, oh, my God, like, this is so horrible. And then the mother doing the binding, like, stands up. And you're like, it's done. And then she says, get up and walk to the window and come back. And you could hear everyone be like, because you just can't fathom that, like, then you have to get up on your feet and walk to the window and back.
No.
And it was so, like, in the future, there was, like, a way, like, when she was hunting for Snowflower, or, like, where she had been while she was in her coma, Lily, like, went to visit, like, a mutual friend of theirs who was some sort of, like, museum curator.
She had, like, an art gallery, like, a really shitty, you think, like, pop-up art gallery in New York for people who are real pretentious.
Yeah, but it was, like, a weird pop-up interactive museum exhibit about foot binding. And you're like, okay, this is you trying to shoehorn in the subject of foot binding into the future because we don't do it anymore.
Well, so it's also interesting because they try to make the struggles of the two sets of women so comparable.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not. And I have a quote from our friend Diana. Shout out to Diana. Watched this movie.
Hi, Diana.
She watched this movie with us and she found the best review and I had her send it to me. And, quote, yet it is laughable to suggest, as this movie does, that there are any real analogies between Lily and Snowflower, who are forcibly maimed and married and have all the rights of animals at slaughter, and their designer-wearing modern-day counterparts, who were invented for this movie. Are the filmmakers serious?
Okay, that went crazy. And Diana goes so hard. Yeah. Well, the whole conflict that was keeping them apart was, first of all, Lily had a really snooty stepmother. Or was it Snowflower that had a snooty stepmother?
The Snowflower character, and then the Lily character was her tutor.
Okay. Snowflower had a really snooty stepmother who was very stepmother from Cinderella vibes.
Very exaggerated.
Yes. And she was supposed, Lily was supposed to be tutoring Snowflower. They're taking their college entrance exams. Day of, it's very clear Snowflower is going to, she's not going to five, she's going to flop. Mm-hmm. And so Lily takes her college entrance exam and writes Snowflower's name on it.
Yes.
Then they obviously get found out, and so neither of them go to college, and Snowflower's evil stepmother sends her away to Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens. So Lily can't go to college for another 2 years.
Yeah, there's a waiting period before she can take the test again.
Yes. So everyone's lives are ruined, and it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, when it turns out that Lily is going to get this great promotion to go to New York, then Snowflower is like, oh, I'm going to move to Australia with Hugh Jackman and open a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
Lily is basically like, all of your boyfriends are terrible. You know, this is the analogy to the butcher. But she's like, all of your boyfriends are terrible. I can't go to New York if you're going to be acting like this. And so then that's why Snowflower cut her off, because mm-hmm. she was like, I didn't want you to give up any more of your life to fix my terrible life,
which,
or whatever.
I can see how they're trying to connect that to in the book when Snowflower's like, don't worry about my problems.
It has its analogs.
It tries.
But it's just not as good.
There's just, you can't make the comparison between the struggles of these groups of women.
Well, you've set up a huge hurdle for yourself, which is what's the point of this half of the movie? Yeah. It's kind of the same thing as, honestly, how I feel about the Mean Girls movie musical that just came out,
mm-hmm.
which is, no matter how good it is, what's the point?
Yeah.
Because you have the musical, and then you have the original movie. Why do we need this other thing that's going to be, not as good as either? Why don't you just make a movie out of Snowflower and the Secret Fan, the book, which is a very good book?
Why don't you just make a Broadway musical at that point out of Snowflower and the Secret Fan?
I mean, honestly, I would go see it. It should be, an opera, probably.
Yeah, it could be an opera. I could see it.
I don't know. But yeah, it was so ill-advised.
Also, so gay.
It was
this
way
movie was
more
so,
gay.
The book was pretty gay. The movie, oh my God, there's a whole part where actual Lily is staying
in
the actual Snowflower.
Yes.
And is just washing through the floorboards, Snowflower having sex with her husband.
Yeah.
And I don't know who said it, but someone watching the movie with us said, and I wrote down the quote, how are they having straight sex and still making it gay?
Yeah. There were also just lots of lingering moments of Lily and Snowflower,
they almost kiss.
Standing close, and their mouths are very close, and you just film them like that for a really long time. And there was one or two moments of that in the book, but it was not this
not that explicit.
Yeah, it was way gayer. And it wasn't in the future. It was only in the past. Although I guess in the future it would have been hard to do that because Snowflower was in a coma.
Yeah, but they could have had flash. I felt it would have made more sense in the present.
Yeah.
Because they could have done flashbacks, and that's why she could have been so upset about Hugh Jackman, and
yeah.
It would have made a lot more sense.
And that's why the evil stepmother didn't want her around.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole evil stepmother, she really fell off.
Yeah, it was not good.
No. I wonder, my biggest question coming out of that is, does Lisa C. feel about this movie how Rick Riordan felt about the Percy Jackson movie?
Oh my God.
You know how he would never watch the movie? Do you think that's how Lisa C. feels?
Probably.
Do you think Lisa C. wanted Hugh Jackman in the movie?
I mean, honestly, if I wrote a best-selling book and they were okay, we're going to make a movie out of your book. And then they were we're going to make up 50% of the movie from stuff that's not in your book.
Which is also Percy Jackson, the movie.
Yeah, I would just be
no.
I don't like that. Maybe they asked her, but it's not they had to listen to what she had to say, you know?
I also feel it's such an easy grab to get the author to be a scriptwriter. Didn't, Eleanor Catton, wasn't she a scriptwriter for the Luminary show?
Yes, which we were going to watch, but we can't get it for free.
No, and I'm sorry. I am not willing to pay money for that show. I tried to make my mom watch it with me, and then I'm oh, it's $15 to rent. Nope,
oh,
thank you.
Oh, that's really expensive.
I know. Well, I don't know if that was the actual number, but,
okay, but
for me, I wouldn't have even paid $2 to rent it.
Yeah, because you didn't like that book.
No.
So
I'm so glad. So as you know, we record all of our episodes out of order, so I haven't been able to talk much about how much I hate the Luminaries. I'm so glad I'm free. It's like, you know the meme of the chains being broken?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
You talking about how much you didn't like the Luminaries. By this time, you all will have heard like our end of season rankings. Mm-hmm. It's very amusing how different they are.
Yeah, it is quite amusing.
In some ways they are different, and in some ways they are the same. But yeah, okay. Do we have any closing thoughts on the events of the Snowflower movie?
On the events of the movie? I wish they'd given Hugh Jackman a second song.
I wish Hugh Jackman was in the past too.
I wish they could have found a way to put him in.
Give Hugh Jackman more to do.
That would have been really funny.
Here's my closing question.
Okay.
If you can only pick one other book to make a movie out of, or a miniseries or whatever, because as far as we're aware, Snowflower has one and the Luminaries has one and that's it. Which one would you pick?
I don't even think you have to ask this question. It'd be Hamnet.
Okay, other than Hamnet, what would you pick?
Other than Hamnet, okay. I feel like I'm so biased to say A Land Remembered because that movie would have been class time movie watching time in school.
I feel like you would be one of those really nitpicky haters. Because do you remember like when they announced that Jennifer Lawrence was going to be in the Hunger Games movies? Uh-huh. And people were like, she has blonde hair. She can't be in those movies.
That would be me, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you would be like, Keith Tiger's too young. Like, he can't be in this movie.
I fully agree. More seriously, I do think that movie, or that, I do think A Land Remembered would eat as a miniseries.
Probably.
Because I think they could do that really well and make it a million times better than the book, which is what I hope happened with the Luminaries.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how I haven't actually seen the show Yellowstone, but it's like about like the West and I don't know, stuff like that. I feel like it could work really well for A Land Remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they like really dramatize it a lot, it could be good. But as we know, Patrick D. Smith is dead and he will not be a scriptwriter, and maybe that's for the best.
Maybe.
What about you?
Honestly, I might say, of course, Hamnet, first and foremost.
Of course.
But other than that, I might say Violetta.
I was really hoping you'd pull out, like, the cartographer scene.
No, okay, actually, so I think Violetta would be very good because I think its style does very well on film, which is, like, the portrait of a person and in the midst of stuff going on around them,
you
almost.
You would want that as a movie and not a miniseries.
I think it would be better as a movie.
Okay.
However, I do think a film adaptation of Mexican Gothic would actually probably be really good.
Yeah, if they film it in the style of like 1950s horror.
Yeah, because I think my problem with that book was it was not imbued with suspense. When they were like, ooh, this house is really creepy. Like, that was just kind of it. Like, you were told that the house was creepy, but I didn't feel anxious being in the house.
It could work really well. And maybe it's because it's so similar to the show The Fall of the House of Usher, which just came out by the same guy as Haunting of Hill House.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar in a lot of ways in my mind. But I think him directing something like Mexican Gothic.
Yeah, I think
his style would be really good.
I think the language of film would do well to fix a lot of the problems I have with Mexican Gothic, because it's one of those things where, like, as a bare bones idea, it's not a problem for me.
Yeah.
It's the execution of it that was the problem.
I agree.
So I think that that could be okay.
I agree. The one that we read that I think will eventually be made into a movie or a TV series is Chinto.
Yeah.
Because it has that modern classic feel of it's going to be adapted a million times.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the third one. Like, you know, when people talk about Hollywood and Bollywood.
Yeah.
There's also Nollywood, Nigerian Hollywood. So, like, obviously it's Uganda. But, like, I do not know if there is, like, a lot of film industry in Uganda.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know.
I could see it being in that adaptation.
Maybe. Or I know that the Jennifer Nansubuga Mukumbi is from the UK, maybe a BBC series. The Luminaries was a BBC series.
Yeah, that could be good.
Possibilities there.
But that one I could definitely see getting the claim to be adapted.
Yeah, and it came out roughly around the same time as the Luminaries did.
Mm-hmm.
And the Luminaries adaptation was pretty recent. It was not when the book came out.
Yeah.
So the door's not shut for Chinto.
Yeah, and I think what year did Snowflower come out?
I believe the book came out around 2005 or 2006, uh-huh. And the movie came out around 2011.
Okay.
Yes. So yeah, there was also a gap there.
And I think gaps make sense because you have to see how well the book actually performs and holds up.
Exactly. I think it's a book's got to be a pretty big deal to get its own movie. So we hope you enjoyed this little bonus episode.
Yeah, pretty short and sweet, but something to tide you all over. If there are any other adaptations you know of in the season we just did or in any of the coming ones, I know there are a couple that we will be talking about.
Yes.
Already planned. But if there's any we miss and you think we should check out, shoot us an email, fiverflop@gmail.com, or we'll also take that in our book recommendation form too.
Yes. And that is in the bios of all of our social medias, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram, fiverflop_pod.
And keep an eye out for a Storygraph season 2 reading challenge coming soon.
We will never forget. And you can email us at fiverflop@gmail.com.
And until then, happy movie watching and happy reading.
Happy reading.